To Matthew chapter 18. This week, I started on a new journey in my career. Some of you know what I'm talking about. This week, I became the high school math teacher for Legacy Christian Academy. Why do you? It's not for the money. They said, well, you do this for the ministry. I truly wanted to do this so I could relate better with teenagers. Amen. Folks, we need to seize opportunities to work better with people so we can share the gospel. My goal was to share the gospel with all those students. My goal was to be an example to them. The money is not any part of it because it's well, well far less than what you would get in public school. And so we started on Tuesday, and on the third day, I thought it was more misery than ministry. You know what I'm talking about. But as I went through the week and said, well, how can I reach them educationally? Now, how can I reach them spiritually? I learned some lessons. And you know, everything that we go through in life is a test of faith. Everything that we go through in life is an opportunity to draw us closer to God, to maybe reveal something in our lives that we need to get fixed. And so the title of my sermon this morning is A Simple Faith. It's a simple faith. And I started thinking about these students and how God talks about how we need to come to Him in faith. And we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. But before we look at God's Word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to open your word. Father, we ask that you just help the truth of it to stir our souls and change us. Lord, I pray that you help us to stay attentive. Father, I pray that you bind Satan on our behalf. Father, I pray that the decisions that we need to make, Lord, will be made. And Father, we'll go leaving this place, Lord, more like you. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truthfulness of it. We thank you for the power of it. Help us, Lord, to have a simple faith. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In our text this morning, Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 4, and it says, at the same time, the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's a simple faith. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. See, in way of introduction here in verse 1, it says at the same time. So Christ is already dealing with the crowd, and now his disciples come up to him and they ask this question. Their misguided question is, who of them is going to be the greatest in heaven? It's all about me. That's what the world wants you to believe. You need to go out and do the hardest and all this, and that's true. We need to work hard, but we need to work hard for the Lord. So what I told the kids, that we need to glorify God in our effort. That everything you do it heartily to the Lord. But the issue is the disciples were wondering about which one of them was going to get the top dog slot in heaven. You know, all through their ministry, they were asking that question. If you go and you read the account of the Last Supper and the crucifixion and all those things, as Christ is washing their feet, there was a discussion on which one of them was going to be the greatest. And sometimes we need to look at other scripture that talk about the same thing. And it says here in Luke chapter 9, verse 46, it says, and there arose a reasoning among them which of them should be greatest. So Christ has a problem on his hands. His closest people, the ones that are following him, are sitting here and they have an issue of pride. They have an issue of looking for position and looking for prestige and looking for this instead of being a servant, instead of being a minister. And so Christ uses a small child as an object lesson. This week, my students gave me several object lessons, some of which I'm going to share with you today. And the issue is that Christ is trying to teach a point here. And so I have 4 points this morning. They all begin with the letter S. And it talks about that we need a simple faith. The first one is that we need salvation. Christ says here in verse 3, he says, "Except ye be converted." Except you be converted. This word for converted means to have a change, to become something different. And so, what do we need to do? Well, we need a change of heart. Christ is truly talking about salvation because he's talking about entering in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is eternal life. And Christ has already told Nicodemus that for God so what? Loved the world. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. So this issue of conversion here is an issue of salvation. It is first an issue of the change of heart. Maybe some of you or most of you know the Romans Road. It's a set of scriptures that talk about salvation and the need for it. It starts out in chapter 3 and it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." It also says in chapter 3, "For as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." It verifies the fact, the truth, that we are all sinners. Because we're all sinners, that death comes to us. Not just a physical death, but a spiritual death if you don't receive Christ. It says in Romans chapter 5, it says, "By one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death is passed upon all men, for all have sinned. But God commanded his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." Amen. Our Lord. Then chapter 10, it says here in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, it says, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." It's a heart issue. "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And then the Romans Road ends, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Christ says in this object lesson, he looks at his disciples, he says, "You got to change. You can't get to the kingdom of heaven unless you change. There has to be a change of heart." Oh, folks, I hope you've experienced that change of heart today through a relationship with Christ. The second thing is you need to have a change of mind. You need to have a change of mind. In Matthew 6:33, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things be added unto." You know, we let so many things get in our mind that pushes God out at times. We need to stay focused on God. In Luke chapter 12, verses 29 and 31, it says, "And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink." And if you're thinking about lunch right now, just hang with me, okay? Just hang with me. "Neither be ye of what? Doubtful mind." You know, James says this, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." All his ways. It says, "For all these things do the nations of the world seek after." But I tell you right now, the world's not seeking the kingdom of God. Are you seeking the kingdom of God this morning? Except ye be converted. Except ye be converted. "And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God And all these things shall be added unto you. See, this issue for conversion is a change of heart. It's a change of mind. And thirdly, it's a change in direction. If God's got a hold of your heart, God gets a hold of your mind, you won't go the same way you did before you met Christ. That would be sin. That'd be the wrong way. John the Baptist is out baptizing. He's the forerunner of Christ. He says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He says this. He says, there's one coming. I'm not he. There's one coming that's going to bring the kingdom of heaven to you. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, come and say, what do we need to do? And the issue is he says this. He says, bring forth therefore meat for repentance. Now some people say, well, I have to work my way into heaven. That's not the case. What this is that what we should do, knowing that we're going to the kingdom of heaven, our life should be consistent with that. And this this word for meat means that it's consistent with the fact that you have repented. It's consistent with the fact that you are going to heaven. So this simple faith, it's a childlike faith. It's a simple faith. We need salvation. Because if you don't have salvation, God still has His mercy. God still loves you. But you're going no further in your spiritual life. You're spiritually dead. You're spiritually dead. So, except ye be converted. A change of heart. A change of mind. A change of direction. Are you going God's way today? I got good news. If you're not, you can. You can. The second thing is surrender. Except you be converted and become as what? Little children. Now I know a lot of adults that act childlessly, but that's not what we're talking about here. It's talking about having the surrender of a small child, the conversion of a small child. And it requires humility. In verse 4 it says, whoso therefore shall what? Humble himself as this little child. You know, that is so contrary to us. That's so contrary to human nature. See, it requires humility. It requires humility in the sight of God. In James chapter 4, verse 10, the same word is used as humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. It's God that does all this for us. It's not us. We're just His instrument now. And so it requires humility in the sight of God and also in the sight of men. Christ gives an illustration in Luke chapter 18 about two guys that went to pray. One was a Pharisee and one was a publican, okay? Or a sinner, okay? Or someone that was lower in the social status of the day. That Pharisee got up to pray. And all he did was he gave God his resume. He says, I am so glad I'm a Pharisee because I tithe and I give my alms to the poor and I do all these things and I read the scripture and I'm not like that dude over there. He was self-righteous. And he thinks that God owes him something. No, God owes us nothing. We owe Him everything. We owe Him everything. And so he prays, but that prayer is not heard because he just wants to toot his own horn. But we know the story about the publican or the sinner. First of all, he won't look up. He looks down at the ground. Secondly, he realizes who he is in front of God. And he smokes his breast. He hits himself here. And he says, Lord, be merciful to me. Merciful to me, a sinner. He humbled himself. He didn't care who was watching. He didn't care what people were thinking. He humbled himself. That Pharisee just cared about what the eye saw in other people. How did he look to other people? And so Christ concludes this part here in Luke chapter 18, verse 14. He says, I tell you, this man, the publican, the one who humbled himself, the one who realized he needed God's help, the one who couldn't get there on his own, he said, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So, surrender requires humility in the sight of God. It requires humility in the sight of man. You know, John the Baptist, Christ said this. He says, no man is greater born of woman than John the Baptist. But it says, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than him. John the Baptist got it right. Because in his ministry, as Christ comes in, he starts preaching the message. He says, he must increase and I must decrease. There's all sorts of songs sung about emptying yourself. Emptying yourself. So it requires humility. Secondly, it requires following God. How can you say that you believe someone if you don't do what they say? Christ said this, if you love me, keep my commandments. He says, everybody will know you're my disciples if you love, have love one for another. See, it requires following God by listening. In Psalm chapter 27, verse 8, it says, when thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. We need to truly seek God's face. We need to understand God is who He is, and we are who we are, and we're not any good beside Him. So it requires listening, and it requires by living, following God by living. So I start teaching math. And on the second day, I'm actually working through some problems. And we're doing some algebra. And we get down to the step right before the answer. And I'm helping this young man. And the step is 11 minus 7. Everybody knows it as what? 4. Out comes the calculator. 11 minus 7, 4. And I looked at him and said, you need a calculator for this? I give another problem. He can't solve. I said, touch your calculator away and solve it. He can't. We do some more stuff. And 18 divided by 2, which is what? 9. Out comes the calculators. And I'm going, it's... I'm doing this! I'm on... Tuesday there's a quiz coming. You can't use your calculator. And I'm going, do you need this? Do you need this? Another problem, another class. It's just one class. 50 minus 12. 38. Out comes a calculator. Now there's two digits. We've got to do something about this. They have surrendered all thinking to the calculator. You know, folks, how many of you have surrendered your life to this? Judy, at least you admit it. Can't live beyond without this thing, right? I gotta have this. You'll forget your Bible. You won't forget this. It rings, you'll pick it up, but when God calls, will you listen? Boy, I tell you what, if you don't answer, I take this from public, from thing. If you don't answer that phone, man, why didn't you answer? I didn't want to. What? That's why you have a cell phone, so I get a hold of you all the time. No. But God, you get a hold to all the time. See, we've surrendered so much to the world, to the things of the world, but have we surrendered to God like that? They surrendered all this knowledge that they had of doing all those math tables when they were second, third, fourth grade. And now they can't do it. Folks, if we don't surrender to God now, we won't do it.
Right.
We need to surrender by living. You know, Christ is talking to the crowd and there's people come up and say, I'll follow you. And he says, okay, follow me. And then they all began to make excuses. Well, I'm married. I'm just newlywed. I can't do this. Or I've just bought these oxen. I want to test drive them. Or I just bought this land. I need to see this. He says, anyone having put your hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. This morning, what are you truly surrendered to? Are you surrendered to God? Are you surrendered to God? In Luke 9, verse 23. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Turn off the cell phone. Get rid of the calculator. Get rid of all the crutches that you're holding on and let God be your guide.
Amen.
Deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. So we need salvation, a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of direction. We need surrender by humility in the sight of God, in the sight of man. And then by listening and by living, following God. Second object lesson. This one will blow your mind. I'm teaching algebra. Now, you say, oh, transitive property. Okay, here's the transitive property. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. Remember that? I gave an example. 5 plus 2 is what? 7. It equals 7. And 7 equals the square root of 49. Therefore, 5 plus 2 must equal the square root of 49. There you go, there's hope. Saturday morning I'm grading papers and I run out of red ink, man. I run out of red ink because this is what one student put. If 7 equals 10 and 10 equals 5, then 7 equals 5. See, by not studying, you won't know what the truth is. There is no truth in that last statement at all. It's gibberish. By not applying our lives to God's Word, we'll fall for anything. We'll think of anything. And we will do not truth. We won't do truth. So the third thing we need to do is we need to study. We must be diligent. Now, the person that made that astounding math discovery was on a bathroom break when I was going through the transitive property. And because she wasn't in class, didn't hear the thing and missed it. How many truths do we miss of God because we're not around? We're not listening. We're taking some sort of break. We're taking some sort of break. We must be diligent.
Right.
In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 and 7, it says, beside this, giving how much diligence? All diligence. Did add to your faith virtue, which are good things, and then to virtue, knowledge. How will you understand the truth of God unless you study it? How would you understand the truth of God unless you apply it? And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. We can't be like God toward the image of God unless we know Him. Paul writes, that I may know Him and the fellowship of His suffering and the power of His resurrection, being made conformable to His death. Folks, it takes diligence. You got to be present. You got to work at it. You need to know where to look.
Right.
To find God's truth, look in God's Word. In John chapter 5, verse 39, it says, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. He was telling the religious people, they had all this knowledge of the Scripture, but they didn't understand what it meant. That person copied down from a friend what the transcript has on their notes. Didn't know what it meant. Folks, we need to study God's Word to know what it means. We must know where to look. And you got to do it yourself. I told all my classes this week, I said, don't come to school to learn how to be a scribe. You come to school to learn how to learn. A scribe is someone who copies. I said, they've been replaced by copy machines. So you do your own work. See, my faith journey is my faith journey. Your faith journey is your faith journey. We are supposed to copy Christ. He's supposed to be our example. But we've got to do it yourself. I can tell you how to be better, but I can't make you better. That is your decision. Paul, on his missionary journey, he's going through towns, and he goes to a town of Thessalonica. He has some trouble there, and he goes to a breath of fresh air to a town of Berea. And he goes into the synagogue, and he's talking to the Jews. And the Jews in Berea were self-actuated people. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, they said this, and these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And that they receive the word with what? All readiness of mind. Except you be converted. Change of heart, change of mind, change of direction. And search the what? Scriptures daily. Whether those things were so. So we need to be diligent. We need to know where to look. I'm telling you to folks, if you say you're a Christian and you're not looking in God's Word, you're not studying. You need to do it yourself. You know, audio Bibles are good and everything else, but you need to read and pick up the Word of God and handle it. And it will have the right results. The Awana verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show. You study to show. And there's four things here that if we study God's Word, that you'll show. You'll be approved unto God. God will say, yep, that's exactly what I want you to do. A workman. You'll actually do something about it. We are His workmanship, created unto in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. That needeth not to be ashamed. If we know our stuff, God can call on you, and you'll do what God wants you to do. Oh, terror was struck when I turned around on a step on a math problem and I called out somebody. By name! How dare you do that? God calls us out by name. What are you going to do for me today? Are you studying to show yourself that you're a workman? Are you studying that you're not ashamed? Rightly dividing the word of truth. I have a challenge with that person. I have to say that 7 does not equal 10. That is not truth. And 7 doesn't equal 5 either. Okay? Folks, when we see, we need to rightly divide the word of truth. We need to take God's word and not come up with lies, but we need to understand the truth of it.
Right.
So we need to be saved. We need to be surrendered. That's a simple faith. To be saved. To be surrendered. To study. To show yourself approved. And then lastly, to share. Lastly, to share. We need to share the gospel. Obviously, Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says this. And he said unto them, you know, we are the them. Okay? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's not a suggestion.
Right.
That's not optional. It's a requirement for all of us.
Amen.
If Christ gave his all for us, we should give our all for him. So we should share the gospel. We should share the goals of God. How could two walk together except they be what? Agreed. Agreed. And it's our job to help others to get to that goal. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it says, "Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the what? Same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers. How? Together. Of me." We all have a common goal. We all have a common walk. We all serve the same God. We have one God, one Lord, one baptism, one Spirit. Be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. I challenge my students. I said, when you get done with this course, people come up to you and you give them the answer. I challenge you, church, today. Study the Word. Be surrendered to it. So when someone asks you of the hope that's in you, you can give an answer.
It is. Right.
And share the gospel. And share the goals of God. And share in the spiritual growth of others. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 11 to 14, that city that gave Paul some fits, and he ran to Berea. And when he got to Berea, he said, "This is a breath of fresh air." He says here, verse 11, he says, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren..." So this word for edify here means to lift up or to build together or to encourage or to exhort, to egg on, to motivate. Edify one another. It means that we're supposed to do that. "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at what? Peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient." Oh. Be patient, all men, those 4 math classes. But you know something? We're supposed to be patient to all men. We need to do these things. It is a simple faith. Let's keep it simple. This morning, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, there's a simple prayer. It goes like this. "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I can't get to heaven on my own. I know that you are the Son of God. You lived a perfect life. You died on the cross for my sins. You were buried to pay the penalty for my sins. You rose again the third day to show that you have power over my sin and over my life. Dear Jesus, I believe that. Come into my heart. I ask for your forgiveness and come and be Savior of my life. A simple prayer, because salvation is simple. Or, Lord, I've been too dependent on other things. Let me give those up and give them to you. Let me walk for you. A simple prayer of surrendering. Lord, I've been deficient in studying your word and sharing it. Help me to do those things. It's a simple thing. It's a simple faith. It's a simple prayer. Today, let's do the right thing and leave here right with God. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, just ask me with this time of invitation. Father, just help us, Lord, to keep it simple and be surrendered to you. Lord, we ask that you have your full will and way here today, Lord, and we're changed, Lord. Our hearts changed, our minds changed, our directions changed. We're humble in your sight. We're humble in others' sight. Our life will follow you. And we'll study and we'll share your word. Help us today. We're a needy people. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.